Hi there, welcome to Bias Chinese. This is purely, deeply, truly personal. I'm a Malayan Chinese mainlander, and I've spent the first 30 years of my life in China, which means I've been through the reform and opening up, the earthquake in 2008, the build-up of the Great Firewall, and lastly, the COVID-19. In this podcast, I just want to give a common individual Chinese perspective on the things happening because I'm sick of propaganda and I simply don't want to be represented by anyone else without my consent. Like millions of the commoners in China, here's what I think. What's the color for August? In China, I can guarantee you it's red. Because historically, Japan announced its surrender at mid-August in World War II, ending its invading and colonization in China. Also, the Army of Chinese Communist Party, called the People's Liberation Army, yearly celebrates its anniversary on August 1st. It's a month of force and victory. Coincidentally, we did see several interesting fights during this month, starting from August 5th. A school bullying in Zhangyou, a city in Sichuan province, triggered a mass protest in the streets, ending up curfew collaborated by the police and the Liberation Army. This is a rare thing you could see in China. The last time you can imagine such a view should be in 1989 on the Tiananmen Square. You may wonder why this school bullying made such a difference. The answer is an image. A short video showing the parents of the victim bend their knees to the ground at the feet of the chief of the police, begging him to give justice to their daughter. And the highlight is, the mother is mute. And the father is disabled. Such a family combination could be viewed as the weakest group in the Chinese society. So in Chinese people's eyes, the whole family was bullied by this privileged authoritarian system. The gesture to bend their knees at the feet of the power is utmost submissive sign. They are begging and they have no defense. But the police and the government shows no mercy, only the usual indifference that most Chinese were used to seeing in common case. This crossed the line, the bottom line of the Chinese people's moral standard. Or let's say another way, it's how blatantly that they showed in public that they don't care, like the image presenting the parents kneel down at the feet of the chief of the police. So the common Chinese people realized that privilege and injustice in such a view, which made them surround the government building and protest in the downtown streets. What hyped this protest was coincidentally in a neighbor city, the capital of Sichuan province, Chengdu was holding World Games 2025. You know China, such a disgrace, a slap in the face. So the government wants to crack it down fast. They did. Overnight, they beat up everyone in the streets, arrested several, and sent them away by camion for pigs. You heard it right. The protesters were standing in the camion yearly for shipping pigs. If you read George Orwell, Animal Farm, you would understand how sarcastic this view is. In the second week of August, a Chinese girl in Australia switched the attention. Yang Lanlan, a 23-year-old girl, crashed her Rolls Royce into Kyle Sandilands, making the chauffeur severely injured in Sydney. It actually happened in July, but Chinese social media switched its notice as a tale of Zhangyou protest when someone posted Yang Lanlan's background. Why? Because we notice this young girl is super rich and super privileged. One evidence is that her bodyguard was found out served in the Liberation Army and used to be some martial arts winner. Everything remained unverified, but rumors about her background in the elite's family was soon deleted on Chinese social media, a sign that the government acknowledged the unusualness of the case. Again, why it's so unique? You can only understand the impact if you know the famous poisoning case of Zhu Ling in Tsinghua University, who passed away last year. And the suspect who poisoned her was her roommate, a girl named Sun Wei, whose grandpa controlled the mining industry in China and also Communist Party's high-level member. Sun Wei, coincidentally, lived in Australia as well. It's a nationwide known case dated over 20 years. So for common Chinese, seems like the privileged family has a special preference for Australia. Like all the natural resources in this country, if you're willing to dig up, you'll find a lot of valuable dirt. The last day in August, a slogan was projected on the building outside universities in Chongqing. Those who refuse to be slave, arise. Resist to reclaim your rights. Overthrow red fascism. Topple the Communist Party's tyranny. Risking his life, Qi Hong planned this manifestation before China's Grand Parade. I listened to his interview later on and got to know his background. He's very super common Chinese, who just can't stand the propaganda anymore, and who's worried about his daughter's education under this regime. So he decided to leave for the UK and expressed his unsatisfaction on his way leaving the country. As a Chinese, I can guarantee you the number of the population that he represents is triple or quadruple of mine. They're not well educated, they're lacking information, they're always struggling in life, but they are willing to think. I don't know what's it like in your country, but in China, too much educated people usually have no guts. They dare not to do such a thing like Qi Hong did. So a lot of Chinese send their bravo to this middle-aged man who successfully accomplished his individual manifestation with smart techniques. In detail, he engraved the characters by nearly using the machine himself, and he used remote control and projected this slogan over an hour, which is phenomenal under the current surveillance system in China. When the police finally found it out and turned it off, he was already on the plane to the UK. A small victory for a Chinese rebel.